Hello, this is William Fink, and this is Krista Genia Internet Radio. This program is being pre-recorded Friday afternoon for Friday, April 1st, 2022. It will be published at Krista Genia this evening. Now we shall hear from our dear friend and League of the South president, Dr. Michael Hill. And we hope to discuss some of the League's positions in regard to the recent significant developments in the strategic and economic affairs of the empire, which is the so-called United States. These recent developments certainly forebode the decline of the American empire, and that should be a welcome event to all Southerners. But the road through it shall certainly be a challenging journey. There is so much U.S. media propaganda on the Ukraine war that it is difficult to follow. The news is all fake, and I don't watch it because I never know what to believe. I did very much appreciate the League of the South's official position that we should not have a care for who wins this war, as that has also been my own view from the beginning. I see the Ukraine war as two groups of Jews fighting for control of gas and oil sales to Europe while accusing one another of being Nazis. And, of course, it's a greater struggle than that, but in order to just sum it up in one sentence, that's how I would have to do it. But this war is about much more than Ukraine, as it is about a series of challenges to the American dominance of world economy and politics in ways that the mainstream media does not even inform the general American public. With the inevitable decline of the American empire, as Southerners, we must attend to the needs of our own people. Dr. Hill, thank you very much for being here once again.
Oh, Bill, it's always my pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you, and praise Christ.
Absolutely.
You had written this article, The Fall of the Empire, on March 12th. That this, some of this program may seem a few weeks dated to some of my listeners. However, we did try to have this 2 weeks ago, and again last week, and I had technical issues that just I had to overcome before we could actually have this conversation. So I thank you for your patience in that regard, certainly.
Sure.
But this program was supposed to be over 2 weeks ago, I believe. So
that's right.
This Fall of the Empire article, it is inevitable. Every empire falls. There's no preventing that. That this American empire is built after the American victory. I'm going to call it an American victory in the Second World War, and it's been dominant ever since. Even when the Soviet Union was together and stood, the American Empire dominated world economy and world markets and did whatever it wanted. And that's basically your attitude here. I don't know if you want to elaborate on any of that.
Yeah, the United States has been a unipolar power since the end of World War II. And some people might challenge that by saying, well, it was a multipolar, at least a dual polar world system with the Soviet Union in the East and the United States in the West. But anybody who looks closely at it will realize that the United States was so much stronger economically, politically, and militarily even than the Soviet Union was between 1945 and 1991 when it officially fell, that it was truly a unipolar world with the United States sitting in the driver's seat. And that has been the period of the flourishing, if you will, of the American empire. Of course, it didn't mean flourishing for the people who were ruled by it, including its own citizens, but for those who ran it, they flourished quite well, mainly the damn Jews. But that's all ended now. You see the cracks in the foundation. In fact, in places you see the edifice beginning to fall in on itself, and I couldn't be happier about that. It's like you pointed out, in your introduction there, it's probably going to be a rough road through it because of all the falling debris. But it's something that is necessary for those of us who are nationalists, Southern nationalists, white nationalists, whatever you want to call us, and those of us who are Christians. We should applaud the falling of this evil, to use Ronald Reagan's terminology, this evil empire. Of course, he was talking about something else, but I think we can use that terminology for the American empire. It's proven itself to be an exporter of all sorts of perversions to the world. And, I couldn't tell you how happy I am as a Southern nationalist, a white nationalist, to see this empire beginning to implode on itself. And it's going to happen, and once it happens, it's going to come down fairly quickly, I think. It might be a little slow at first, but once it gets underway, I think the fall will be pretty rapid, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. In fact, it may destroy some who are innocent, but I sure pray it destroys those who deserve being destroyed.
Well, absolutely, and I really believe that first, that this can get really complicated because I see the Soviet Union in a totally different light than most people. I believe the entire Soviet Union, its entire history, was only a facade so that world Jewry could pillage, loot, and destroy the Slavic and Germanic races of Russia and Central Europe. That's how I see it. And the whole thing was a facade set up under which they could do that. And they did it very well for a very long time when the so-called Soviet Union fell. And even if what was the Soviet Union had broken up into several geographic regions, Jews ended up controlling all of the wealth of the Soviet Union, that they controlled all the wealth of Russia. And Vladimir Putin has had this cadre of Jewish billionaires at his side ever since he took office in the wake of the Yeltsin administration. So it's a one gang of Jews that have run the entire Orient practically ever since 1917. That's how I see it. When the Soviet Union fell, they ended up owning it all. Sure, Putin had problems with one oligarch, but he's been in bed with all the others ever since he took office, ever since he came to power. And I believe
there's no doubt that when this whole facade, this communist Bolshevik facade, fell onto Russia in 1917, that this was something done purposely by international Jewry, by a lot of Jew capitalists who, of course, funded it. And they haven't given up their power. A lot of people are going to say, well, you know, look at what Stalin did to the Jews in the late 40s and early 50s, even back to some degree in the 1930s. And look what Putin has done to get rid of the Jewish oligarchs and the things like that. Well, I think that's all a facade. I think Putin has done some of these things in order to give himself some currency with the forces out there that might be a little bit suspicious of what's been going on in places like, say, Ukraine, which is obviously a Jew enterprise there. In fact, some have even said that the whole project there is to create a greater Israel. And I've been trying to find out as much about that as I can. But, you know, the thing is, I don't think that the United States, or let's say the good parts that remain of the United States, the most of the people here, the white people, I don't think that they're going to find much to lean on Putin's Russia. The very best we can hope for him is that he's a foil to the American empire and what he's doing in Ukraine, which I don't blame him as a head of state. If somebody tried to put a military alliance, hostile military alliance on my border, I would resist it too and probably use military force to do so. So I'm not condemning Putin for what he's done in Ukraine. I'm just saying that I don't think that American nationalists have a lot to lean on with Vladimir Putin. He has his own set of interests that he's looking after, and truthfully, I'm not sure that I trust him, and certainly not some of the people he's been in bed with over the last 20-something years.
Well, right, and that's simply because this is important to our cause and our discussion, because so many white nationalists look, or Southern nationalists even, look to Putin's Russia as some sort of savior from the American empire. And really, they're only interested in their own gain and the building of their own empire. Vladimir Putin has been quoted first on June 19th, 2013, the Jewish Telegraph Agency published an article and statements that Putin had made at a Jewish museum and tolerance center in Moscow, where he admitted that the first Soviet government was mostly Jewish and even 80 to 85% Jewish. And that's a quote. That's in a direct quotation. So Putin understood that Soviet Russia was run by and organized by Jews. And then on January 15th, 2018, and this was a quote, and I'm taking it from Newsweek.com, Putin said that communism comes from the Bible and compares Lenin. He compared Vladimir Lenin to a saint. Putin has been trying to revive the images of Vladimir Lenin, of Joseph Stalin, who's certainly no anti-Semite. He was a philo-Semite, if anything, just because he had pogroms and some Jewish officers were involved in those pogroms. The fact is that most of his officers were Jews on whatever side they fell on, that Stalin was a very paranoid individual, paranoid of being overthrown violently, and he believed in eliminating all possible competitors. How many kings have done that throughout the history of the world? It's nothing new.
Oh, it's standard procedure.
So this is the Jerusalem Post, June 26th, 2012. This is a headline in the Jerusalem Post. At Putin's side, an army of Jewish billionaires. So they admit the connections on one side, but they sell a different story in the media to Westerners.
Yes.
And they do it all the time. They play both sides. Right now, they're... Well, I don't know about today, but they have been selling this at the beginning of this war, this narrative to the West that Jews in Ukraine are actually being threatened by this war and that they have to flee and they have to go back to Palestine or be admitted into other European countries. And the Jews are fleeing Ukraine. They're not fleeing Ukraine in fear of their lives. They're fleeing Ukraine because they don't want any part in any war. They're internationalists. They don't want to fight Russia. That they would rather be Russians. That this Ukrainian president, that this Volodymyr Zelensky, he's a Jewish comedian. He's an ethnic Jew. This is well known.
Right.
He's a comedian and he's a sodomite. I have several videos posted at Christogenia, three, I believe, of him promoting sodomy on his television programs. Sodomy that we don't even see media this bad on television in the West. Not yet. I mean, it's coming, but not yet. This is well beyond anything that we see, any of the debauchery and the degeneracy we see in Western television.
This is a situation in which I've cautioned people not to pick sides between Russia and Ukraine, although I can sympathize, as I said, with Putin's motives about resisting NATO's incursion upon his border.
Right, and that's just the honest truth.
That's the honest truth. That's just a geopolitical hard fact. You know, it's not, Putin has his own interest. Ukraine and whoever is running Ukraine, which I think is a combination of the CIA, MI6, and Mossad. And I think Ukraine is the... I've called Ukraine a criminal syndicate masquerading as a sovereign government. And I think that's exactly what it is. God knows how much money laundering and all that the Biden crime family and all its associates have used Ukraine for, and God knows how much human trafficking and pornography and all kind of stuff have been conducted in Ukraine. I think it's a territory that's being used by the Jews and their Western allies for all kinds of nefarious projects, if you will. And we don't have the white nationalists, Southern nationalists, don't have a dog in this fight, to use the old saying. And we need to be very, very careful about who we throw our support behind, even if it's just moral support. We need to watch this as a means of helping bring down the American empire. But to think that Putin is going to do anything to benefit us on purpose is ridiculous. I think we may end up getting something out of this tangentially, maybe even better than tangentially, in the fall of the American empire and the exposure of its corruption. But to think that Putin is an ally, that's just pushing things way too far.
Well, I'm perfectly agreeable to that, sir. That's a wonderful thing. That the... the education of Southern nationalists. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in a website like the... there's all sorts of these all-white, alt-right websites that are pumping Putin up as an ally and even as a savior, and it's discouraging. But that's only a portion of it. But there's a bigger thing at stake here than Ukraine, I believe, and that's the petrodollar. And most nationalists, most Southern nationalists, don't understand the importance of the petrodollar in the perpetuation of the American empire. And they don't even understand what a petrodollar is. Some of them think it's some other form of currency, but it's not. It's basically not. The fact that since the end of the Second World War and the Bretton Woods Agreement, all world currencies have been basically inferior to the United States dollar. And that was by formal agreement at Bretton Woods that pegged all world currencies to the United States dollar. But the United States dollar was to be fixed, valued at a fixed rate of gold. That system broke down when Richard Nixon took the United States off the gold standard in the early 70s.
Basically, 1972, I believe.
Right. He broke that Bretton Woods Agreement with every nation on the planet that was in force after World War II.
And the reason he did it is because the United States was able to tell everybody else, hey, you don't like it, do something about it.
Right. Exactly. And that caused the Arab oil crisis.
So yes, during 1973, the next year, I remember that well. I'm
exactly.
Sure you do.
But those events in the minds of most people who even remember them or care to remember them, that they treat that like it's two separate events, and it's not. It's a direct
connection. One following the other naturally.
Right, and it's crazy to me that people don't see these things. I mean, I was 11 years old, I think, when Nixon took us off the gold standard. I only cared about the price of Tootsie Pops, right? I mean, it didn't really matter too much to me. But looking back today, it's incredible how the media, the lack of true reporting, of real reporting in our media, just causes people to be ignorant, and they don't see the clear connections and the nefarious purposes of all of this. Once we were taken off the gold standard, capital went wild because they were able to print all the money they wanted, and it didn't matter anymore. And that's
sure,
why
that
we had
like
the inflation of the early 70s.
Jewish wet dream.
Exactly. That was why we had the inflation of the early 70s. That's the only reason why, period.
Yeah, that is the reason. And people can't put two and two together there, apparently.
But the only reason why the United States was able to build this huge empire and fund all of these military bases all over the world is because after the Arab oil crisis, the only reason why we didn't invade Arabia and take over the oil fields was because the Arabs agreed to only sell their oil for U.S. dollars.
That's exactly right. And that was basically, we had them by the balls, and they had to make the agreement. But there's an old saying, whoever's currency you use controls you.
Absolutely.
And the United States basically told the world, you will use our currency, and therefore it will be a means of control over you.
I don't know if it was a compromise or not, because it's the same bankers own the Federal Reserve that own the central banks in Europe, that the creation of the euro was a slight shift away from the petrodollar. But even today, all of the natural gas that and oil that Russia sells in Europe, 58% of that is settled in euros. The contracts are settled in euros.
Yes,
they're priced
right.
in euros. But 39% of those contracts are settled in United States dollars. And only 3%
exactly.
in British pounds. So yeah. I don't know if that was an American concession to Europe in order to maintain control of Europe. But 80% of the world's exchanges of raw goods and materials and all of that are settled in dollars, in U.S. dollars.
Yes, that's right.
The U.S. dollar accounts for over 50% of the reserve currency, in all foreign central banks. And of course,
exactly.
every nation has to have a central bank or we end up bombing it at some point.
That's exactly right. And then putting a central bank in their country after we bombed it and loaning them the money that they need to rebuild.
Right. Exactly. It's a scam. So
it really is a scam. And it's just one big Jew scam. It's just a continuation of their lying system. But it's going to fall. I think we may be in the process of seeing the cracks in the foundation right now.
Well, it's being attacked. It's being attacked by China. The Saudis are considering selling oil to China for their Chinese currency. It's being attacked by Russia because Russia doesn't want to sell its gas and oil for U.S. dollars or for euros. It wants to sell it for rubles. And
that's
this
right.
Is,
I saw the other day that Putin had told the European countries in the European Union, no more euros for Russian gas, only rubles. And I think the Germans jumped in and said, we're going to pay you euros like we always have. We'll see who wins that contest.
Right. And now India is considering using Chinese currency to buy gas and oil from Russia.
Now you're talking about the... With India and China, you're talking about what, 40% of the world's population, maybe?
And probably 80% of the world's manufacturing, I swear.
Yes, exactly. So the United States is in a very precarious position when it thinks it can ignore the likes of India, China, Iran, Brazil, some of these other countries that are making apparently deals among themselves that are cutting the Americans out of the deals. And I think that's a wonderful thing. A lot of Americans might say, well, that sounds unpatriotic to say that. Well, you and I know what true patriotism is, and adhering to this regime, the American empire, for lack of a better term, is not patriotism. It's foolishness. The sooner this thing falls, the better off all of us out here in the hinterland are going to be. So bring it on.
How, Zelensky is a United States puppet. And
Of course.
the last two presidents of the Ukraine have been Jews, and four out of the last six prime ministers of the Ukraine have been Jews. And how anybody, this is two groups of Jews, that those in Russia and those in the Ukraine, and I understand that Russia has every legitimate reason to invade Ukraine as it did, and we could speak about the historical details behind that, but Russia has been held at bay from Ukraine since 2014. Putin had a plan in place called Nova Russia. And it's, you can look up, anybody could look it up on the internet. It's Novorossiya is the way it's spelled in English letters. It's Nova Russia, to take about a third to half of the Ukraine and make an independent state of Nova Russia out of it as a buffer between NATO and Russia. Because
that
he didn't,
correct.
He doesn't want NATO missiles on his border. Well, I can't really blame him for that, right? But
no,
so
no,
this,
I don't either.
This war, I don't know what held Putin at bay in 2014. And he dropped his plans for Nova Russia, I think, in 2015 or 2016.
That's right, yes.
That Azov battalion was actually a legitimate grassroots right-wing paramilitary organization in 2014. And it began fighting Russian nationalists. And the Donbass region, Donetsk and Luhansk, the easternmost Ukrainian states next to the Crimea, well, that is a majority ethnic Russian.
Yes, it is.
And it has been for a long, long time, just like the Crimea was. Well, the Russians, after Euromaidan, didn't go in there publicly in uniforms, right? But they were sending troops and weapons into that area and supporting the separatists that started declaring independence from the Ukraine after the Euromaidan, because they didn't want to be part of NATO.
That's
and
right.
They thought Ukraine was going to join NATO, which every sign was on the wall that that was going to
yes.
happen, and it didn't. So Russia has been funding this guerrilla war, and this Azov battalion, even though they were true nationalists, true Ukrainian nationalists, when they started out, they were misused into fighting and killing their fellow Russian, their white cousins. They were misused in that area. They didn't belong there. But Azov was folded into the Ukrainian army in 2016. It has, the nationalist leaders were removed, and it has been totally Judaized. One of its top officers is a prominent Israeli rabbi.
That's exactly right.
Nathan Chazin.
That's it.
So this, we hear about these Nazis in the Ukraine. It's just a lie.
Really?
It's a complete lie. It's these people aren't Nazis. They're Jews. But they kept all the Nazi-type regalia of the original founders. So they could put that show on that they're Nazis, and they're really all Jews. And they're Jews
That's
killing,
right.
or they're, there's a lot of good white men in Azov Battalion, and I happen to know that, who are true nationalists who have been deceived into joining and fighting with this unit. But it's run by Jews. And
That's exactly right. And it's a sham now, and there are a lot of white, innocent white guys who are going to die.
Right,
because of this. And look, I've always thought that this whole war in Ukraine had one overarching goal that, you know, left everything else behind, and that is to see how many white men could die on both sides. That's always the Jews' ultimate goal in starting these conflicts, is to kill a lot of white people, preferably white Christians. So here we go again.
Well, they subvert They create or subvert these fake right-wing groups. This right sector is another one. And in the right sector is a civic nationalist group. It's not a Nazi group at all. It's basically like the Sons of Confederate Veterans in the South,
yeah,
this right sector.
Exactly.
And they're not the enemies of... They have denounced anti-Semitism or forms of racism. They're just like the Republican Party, in fact. That they're really no different.
Yes.
That they're against.
That's exactly right.
The only thing I've actually seen them stand against is the depravity of these Jewish liberals. But other than that, this is, yeah, right. Both sides of this war are Jewed, and we shouldn't take a stand one way or the other. But if part of the result is the erosion of the petrodollar, and its eventual fall, then we can see the fall of the empire coming. It's inevitable.
Absolutely we can. That is the most important thing that may come out of this conflict is the fall of the petrodollar. And if that happens, Bill, you and I both know that that is going to be a huge crack in the foundation of this empire, and I don't think it can stand once that happens.
No, eventually it can't. Eventually, we're going to have runaway inflation, and all of those troops that we support overseas are going to have to come back. And when they come back, they're going to come back to no futures and no jobs. And the only thing they know how to do is fly drones and shoot people.
That's right. And they'll find a way to do that here. And I hope they have the right people in their sights.
Right. Somehow, I don't think that's ever how it works, though.
It doesn't seem to be, especially when you let the political leaders in D.C. tell you who you ought to be pointing your weapons at. So we need to get over that. But no, I really see this empire falling. It may be a slow fall at first, but I don't think it can stand with the dollar under siege. Like it is now. I'm really heartened by this. And, obviously you hate to see innocent white people suffering, but there may be a silver lining to this cloud.
Well, we hate to see innocent white people suffering, but we need our own white people to turn towards each other.
That's right.
So that they don't suffer.
That's right. Stop trusting damn Jews. You know, if every white person would take that to heart, then the future would be a lot brighter for our people, whether they were in Russia, Ukraine, Europe, or the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, you name it. It would be a much, much better world for our people if we would stop trusting the wrong people.
Well, last year I spent a considerable amount of time during the summer speaking to young Southern nationalists in South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama. As you know, you made it. You were there at some of those venues, the National Conference of the League of the South last year. But South Carolina in particular, I was disheartened with the attitude some of them had towards that National Justice Party and Michael Pinovich, who's a Jew, who's an admitted Jew, and all of these traps that we have in Southern nationalism, in white nationalism in general, we have so many traps and so many people get caught up in them.
People need to learn to be more discerning. I think our people are so eager, Bill, to grasp on to something that offers them some hope, that they are easily fooled. I don't think it's malicious on their part. I just think that it's in some ways a very simplistic view that they take. And these issues can be very sometimes very tortuous. You know, you have to wind your way around to the truth, and sometimes it's not so simple to do that. And our people really want to believe, and they want to grasp on to a simple solution. And while the solutions may ultimately be simple, to get from here to there is oftentimes a fairly twisted road, and you have to be very patient and very discerning to get there on the right road. And our people are oftentimes too trusting, It's just like my old friend from many, many years ago, Phil Beverly. Phil's been dead for many years, and he was one of the original founding league members. He said, you know, the problem is that our people believe lies. I said, yes, sir, that is absolutely true. Our people have believed lies for a long time, and some of them are lies dressed up in great finery and very seductive toward our people, and we have to help them to be more discerning.
I can't understand how anybody would support a regime that projects that gay pride flag and forces it on every foreign nation. U.S. embassies everywhere have been flying this gay pride flag in the capital cities of every country in the world. And yeah, it's an affront. It's a direct affront.
That just shows you what the United States is exporting. Perversion.
Yes. They are purposely exporting it. That's why we have Zelensky,
exactly,
the sodomite, sitting as the prime minister of Ukraine or president of the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. But I think that the level of absurdity that we're reaching now, that this is opening the eyes of just a lot of normal people who are easily fooled on some things, but there's a point past which they can't be fooled. And I think, you know, all this transgender stuff, you know, all the stuff that they're pushing in the schools, all the stuff that the U.S. government is pushing in foreign countries, I think it's opened the eyes of so many normal people who are saying, well, I just can't support this. It just doesn't make any sense.
Like this
200-pound, I think the regime is killing itself.
Like this 200-pound female swimmer that
yeah,
makes
right.
sure its bulge is fully apparent in every photo shoot that it gets by a pool. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, people will believe only so much bullshit. And I think the regime has pushed this thing way too far, and they've lost credibility, and they're losing credibility with the great American middle class and working class white people who are just shaking their heads saying, no, I can't go there. And praise God for it.
I do. I do. And I see a lot of their disenchantment myself, but it's hard to get them to think locally, to shut off that evening news, totally black out the mainstream media, think locally, think about your own people, and to start building communities. And I always see the League of the South as the ideal organization to which to do that here in the southern states.
Well, we're going to win this war on the state and particularly on the local level, because that is where we're going to have to entrench ourselves, maybe retrench ourselves, and fight this globalist Jewish tyranny that is apparently intent on destroying everything we love. That is where it's going to be won. We're going to have to look inwardly to our communities, and if we have the food shortages and shortages of virtually everything else that some are predicting, that's what we're going to have to fall back on. I mean, it gets as fundamental, Bill, as where do you get your food, you know? And our farmers may turn out to be very, very important people before this is over. I've cultivated my local farmers and even gone as far as to, you know, try to invest what I can in helping them and getting on their good side so I can be in the supply chain. But, you know, if all this falls apart and the dollar situation we talked about earlier is going to have a massive impact on this, what are people going to do if they can't go to their supermarkets or their local hardware stores or whatever to buy the things that they need for necessities in life? They're going to be thrown back upon local production, and that will be a tough thing, but it may be a necessary thing for destroying this system that we have. So I think that's what you meant when you said we may have some rough road ahead of us to go down. And if so, you know, let's do it. Let's get it done. Get it over.
Absolutely, because it's really difficult when everything seems like yesterday, right? And the whole world seems like a nice, secure place, and the dollar is going to be around forever, and Walmart is forever going to be getting cheaply made goods from China. It's absolutely impossible to get people to change. People just won't change ahead of time, and they
No,
should.
they won't.
That they
There
won't
are a
take.
few of us. There are a few of us out there, and I think that number is growing, who have seen all this stuff coming for decades. I started becoming a prepper, I guess you might say, in the 1970s. And I've been doing that now for going on 50 years. But most people, you're right. I go to Walmart and get what I need. It's cheap, It's there. It's always there. What happens when Walmart is no longer available? Most people are going to look around and say, "What do I do now?" Our job, I think, and it's a tough job, is to alert these people and convince them that just because yesterday was like this does not mean that tomorrow is going to be like this.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you just like to grab people by the shoulders and shake them and say, "Wake up, man. Make some preparation for this." Some will, some won't, and some may die because they don't.
It can be done in small, simple steps. And if you make a small, simple step every day or every week, in a year, you will have visible progress.
Amen, sir. Amen. And there's no reason to try to get it all done in a day. I think we do have a little bit of time, but it's running out. But there's still time for people to do this. And the first change people need to make is a psychological change. And that is to realize that just because things have always been one way doesn't mean they're always going to be that particular way. Things can change, and they can change in a hurry, and they can bite you in a hurry. So people need to get psychologically prepared and then physically prepared. And another thing I always emphasize to people, Bill, is get yourself in shape. Get yourself in physical shape. This is not going to be easy to get through, particularly if you're not in good shape and in good health.
Well, I really believe that if you shut your television off in the evening, the boredom will eventually lead you to do something that will get you in shape.
That's absolutely true. People have to fill that time void. And, some people will find another way to waste it, of course. But some people will say, "Well, look, I'm not spending 4 hours in the evening watching television. What can I do that's productive?" And some people will find things productive to do.
Well, that's something that was lost in just the last two or three generations in our country. You didn't see it so much in the city, but I did see it a lot in suburban and rural communities. When I was a young boy, fathers used to teach their son shop in the evening, or reloading, or basic camping skills and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I remember all that stuff with my father.
And all of it went out the window with television. Now they watch Bob Vea or some stupid home buying program, but they'll never lift a hammer to fix anything in their own home.
Yeah, that's right. They watch videos about it, but they never get around to actually doing it.
So our culture has been replaced by television. Little boys used to
Yeah, and
learn.
we know who controls that.
They used to learn shop. They used to learn basic carpentry skills. They used to learn how to change a tire. If most young men had to change a tire tomorrow, that they'd be lost. They wouldn't know where to
They
start.
would. They wouldn't even know what to get out to begin the process.
Changing a tire starts with a cell phone and ends with a credit card.
That's great.
That's how they see the world.
Yeah, there's no taking the lug nuts off. There's no jacking the car up.
No, you need a cell
It's
phone
just
and a credit card.
that's it. That's very good, Bill. I'm impressed. I'll have to remember that one.
It's true in a lot of areas. It fixes all our woes. Cell phone, credit
That's
card, you got
exactly
it.
right. I'll, call somebody else and give them a credit card when they finished.
It's
We need to
crazy.
learn how to do things ourselves. I mean, there are a lot of things I don't know how to do that I wish I did. I wish I knew how to be an electrician. I wish I knew how to be a good plumber. I can do some basic stuff, but I've still got things to learn myself. But so many, you're right, so many of the young men out there today, they don't know how to do anything.
Well, that's why we need communities of like-minded people and to appear in all of our southern counties. It's if I don't know how to do something that I need to do for my house, YouTube is not always going to be there for me. But I know that I have a group of brothers here that I could turn to. One of them will know how to do it.
Absolutely. And that is invaluable. Yeah, I mean, so many people say, "Oh, well, if I don't know how to do this, I'll just go watch a YouTube video." Well, what if YouTube is just shut down to you one of these days? You don't have any idea about how to do this, and you don't know anybody because everybody is dependent on YouTube in your community. So, man, people just need to get away from screens.
Well, our enemies control us as long as we're stuck in that attitude and stuck in that mode of thinking. They're always going to control us.
Absolutely, they are. That's why we need to be as independent from this system. And when I say from the system, I mean from television, from computer screens, from the whole cyber network out there that is the milieu of our enemies. We need to get back to real world operations and skills
Absolutely. And
and activism. Activism, too.
yes, sir. Bringing people over to our mode of thought or showing them our mode of thought, because once they really understand it, it's for most white men, it should be natural.
It will be natural. It's something that they have been deprived of, that once they see it again, it's going to be very appealing to them because it's going to strike a natural chord with them.
Well, when the Negro and Mexican hordes emerge from the cities and their little hubby holes in various farming areas because they're hungry and they come after Whitey because Whitey might have some food, we better start to partner up and to organize, or we're not going to
Yeah, you'll
survive.
be picked off. That's right, we'll be picked off one by one.
Will be like South African farmers. They're being picked off one
Yes,
by one.
isolated and vulnerable.
Yes, and that's exactly how whites, whatever whites are left, are going to be. It's not going to be pretty if the dollar does fail. And it seems like the powers that be, the government, that they've been trying to do everything they can to make the empire fail. All of their policies seem contrary to any rational common sense or any real will
Really?
to survive.
What do you make of that? It's all very strange to me, but it's almost like they've been trying to destroy their own system. Is it because they have another system that they want to put in place that's even worse? Or is it because they're just dedicated to causing chaos?
There are all sorts of conspiracy theories about this Agenda 2030 and this Klaus Schwab and this kike that runs the World Economic Forum, which is really like a one-man operation that manages to miraculously have all these governments and corporations in bed with it and listen to it. It's that there are all sorts of conspiracy theories that I would rather not go there. I would rather just observe and draw my decisions from things that are concrete that I see in front of me. But this, the way this COVID scamdemic was coordinated, where it started with certain of these in the United States with these left-wing liberal software and media companies and just sort of dominoed throughout the entire economy, and all these corporations just went along with it. And politicians just went along with it. It seems like a very small group of people can set the path and control the entire nation. And those people aren't necessarily elected politicians. None of them are.
Exactly.
So, however the dynamic is working, and however some of these agendas get promoted through the entire media world, and all of a sudden all the politicians just obey them blindly and follow along blindly, it's hard for me to say how that happens, but it's very observable that it does happen. And who knows what scam is going to be.
That's right. And this COVID thing, I think you hit on a really important point. You know, there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there, and have been. I've been following this kind of crap for many, many decades now, and I'm sure you have too. And a lot of these things, these conspiracy theories are exactly that. They're just wild-ass theories about things. Some of them are true, though, and it's hard to distinguish between which might be and which are not. But I think you hit on something very important with the COVID thing. This thing was fostered by a very small group of people, and it just took over. It spread like wildfire, which makes me think, what will the next cause be, or the next scam be, that takes on a life of its own like that almost, and where will it lead? And that's a little troubling, because, you know, I'm with you. Most of these, you know, wild-ass conspiracy theories out there, I just dismiss them out of hand. But there is something going on. And you're right. This regime seems like it's hell bent on destroying itself. And, you know, that just makes me wonder, what do they, are they really just that stupid? And that just, you know, prone to destruction for the sake of chaos and destruction? Or do they have something in mind that they want to replace this current system with? And I don't think we can dismiss that out of hand, particularly when we saw what you've just described, the way this COVID thing was built up. So we just need to be very watchful. But I think when it all falls in, and I think that's going to happen, nobody's going to be in control of this thing worldwide. It's going to be thrown back on what can you do locally to survive and rebuild. And I think that's where we need to place our emphasis.
Exactly. It has to be local. And if you're producing your own food locally, or if a community of people can produce their own food locally, or at least mostly rely on one another, then as things get tougher, that they'll be insulated to a small degree from the hardships on the outside of the group. It's
yes, exactly. I can't tell you the last time I bought any meat at the grocery store.
Well,
I can't tell you the last time I bought any eggs at the grocery store. I have my own local sources for good, clean meat and eggs, and I've done what I can to make sure that source will be there for me when I need it.
Right. Right. And we can't even rely on electricity. That's not going to save us either. So,
yeah, that's right. Well, if the power grid goes down, then that's a game changer. That's a complete survival mode right there.
Right. I'm not saying that the power grid is going to go down. I don't believe a lot of the conspiracy theories I hear. And if it goes down, the entire grid doesn't necessarily have to go down. That's not true either. I think that is mostly in the control of state governors and state governments, and how reliable they are is definitely going to be, that there's definitely going to be far different degrees of reliability from one state and region to another, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. I'm much more concerned about who the governor of my state is rather than who's sitting up in Washington as president.
Right. And that's all we should be concerned about, because that's
Exactly.
our state is our home, not this artificial empire. And
Yeah, that's right. My Alabama is my country.
the empire is absolutely corrupt and decadent. We should not rely on its maintaining any moral standards at all. It's become absolutely immoral. It's forcing the acceptance of sodomy everywhere. That these biolab accusations in the Ukraine, I believe them. Those biolabs have been there since 2011
Oh
and the
yes,
Obama
absolutely they
administration.
have. There's plenty of evidence that those things are there.
And it's not just the biolabs in Ukraine. The U.S. really did fund that biolab in Wuhan, China, where COVID was reportedly developed.
That's right. God knows what else they funded.
Right. Fauci did fund that. That's an
Yes.
absolute fact. I don't know what
Absolutely.
the media says about it, but that's a fact.
Yes, it is.
And funding that, why are we funding biolabs in China? Why are we even in that business?
Yeah, I think we might have gotten our answer over the last couple of years to that. Control, some sort of pandemic as a means of control of everything from the economy to your personal wardrobe, i.e. the mask wearing, so yeah, I mean this whole empire, emanating out of D.C. and New York, is so perverse and perverted, and so questionable in its morality that I think most people are going to eventually give up on it as unsalvageable. And what do they have to fall back on? They have their state and local communities to fall back on, and that's it. And that's going to be a wonderful thing. The idea of devolution, or secession, or whatever you want to call it, from this, we've pushed that in the league now for over a quarter of a century, and it's become even more important an option today than it was 25 years ago.
Well, right. The concept of secession, the concept of abjuring the realm. Any white Christian man should want to abjure the realm, as the League likes to put it, and not
Really?
support this perverted, depraved, and degenerate government.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, if you are a Christian, you cannot support this regime. I mean, this is a godless, anti-God regime, and it's going to fall because of that. It's going to be punished. I don't want to be anywhere around it when that day comes.
I absolutely agree. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near it either. I'll sit here
No, I
in the
mean, you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah too. That may be it. I don't want to be anywhere near that.
Well, I don't I think the future looks bleak, but like you said, it may happen a lot more slower than we would prefer. But the future looks bleak for the United States dollar, especially, I believe, and that will lead to the fall of the empire.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have all your assets denominated in U.S. dollars, then you're in trouble.
But if the dollar goes down without a war, then we should know that it was the bankers of the Federal Reserve that were behind the failure of the dollar.
Exactly. And that leads to the question, why?
Right.
And that's why I'm thinking that maybe they have, if that is the case, they have something even worse for us planned. And I have a friend who she has been really pushing this idea of a central bank digital currency, which she thinks is their ultimate goal. And I'm not going to disagree with her because she knows a lot more about it than I do. But if that's the case, and that's why they're destroying the dollar, then we may be in for a hell of a fight, just on that front.
Yes, and
I
I've
think
heard that too. I've heard that as
that
well.
time will tell.
I don't know if the world is ready for that, but I've heard that as well.
Yeah, I think we need to keep an eye on it. I'm not ready to buy into, it's going to happen tomorrow, but I do see the danger of it. And we need to be very, very aware of anything that they're trying to pull over on us like this as some sort of emergency measure or a way of, picking us up once the dollar has fallen and all that kind of stuff. So people will be very vulnerable to new suggestions and all when anybody steps in and says, "Oh, we have a plan to fix all this chaos that you're in right now." A lot of people will jump on that bandwagon, I'm afraid. So we need to be very, very careful about that.
Right, they'll jump on it because that they have this empathy, this whites have this built-in empathy and altruism that leads them to think that everything the government offers them is good. If they jumped on a digital currency in 5 years or less, oh, you're a right-wing extremist. Well, you can't do any trade. You can't trade. You're against
That's
abortion.
right.
You're against a woman's reproductive rights. Well, we're not going to allow you to trade in our currency. And they're going to cut us off.
Yeah, every time that you try to use your digital currency through a credit card or whatever, transaction denied.
Right. I'm getting that now. I found a new credit card processor that I thought looked promising that I think I even sent you a message about. Within
You did.
4 days, they canceled me. 4 days.
I'm not surprised.
And
I
they
mean,
rejected.
the league has lost, not only the ability to do any kind of electronic business online through, the likes of PayPal or Stripe or those. We've actually had our bank account taken away from us. So, we've already been over the last 5 years since Charlottesville. Have already experienced this kind of thing that most people are not even aware of. So we know what's coming.
Right. PayPal not only canceled me several times, that they canceled an account that nobody knew about except me and PayPal,
Right.
that I only use for private transactions so that I could buy things through PayPal online and I would fund it through my bank. And I never had anybody send money to that PayPal account, and they canceled it.
Yeah, that because they knew who you were, sir.
Right. So
So.
they also chased after some of my vendors. I had a vendor creating CDs for me in my podcasts and mailing them. And that vendor, actually the president of that company, because it's a small company, sent me a note saying PayPal forced me to cancel you, or they would cancel me.
Right. Yeah, we're just beginning to see the start of a campaign like this to control people's economic activity. And if you can control somebody's economic activity, you can destroy them.
Right. And Stripe has canceled me as well, and
Yeah, they have
it's
me too. Exactly.
impossible to get a credit card vendor now.
Yep, that's right. Well, it's good that we're aware of all these things. I just wish that a lot of our fellow white and Southern nationalists out there would become aware of these things.
It starts with us, but that SPLC has demonized the Family Research Council. Are you kidding me? Simply because they're against abortion and the LGBT? Well, it is a Christian organization. You're not allowed to be a Christian. Christ said, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you. This would only be the beginning of it. In a digital currency world, we won't do any trade. We wouldn't be able to buy or sell unless we take the mark of the beast.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I know that there are people out there who probably don't know a lot about what's going on, but they do know about the mark of the beast. And anything like this, I think, is going to wake them up. So I think that could be a good thing.
I pray. I wish it would. We keep waiting for this great catalyst. It's got to happen one way or another.
It will. I think it will, and I think we're building up to that right now. Things are becoming more obvious. I talk to a lot of people when I travel around, and not just league people, but just, you know, for example, when I go to the gym or when I go to the farmer's market or, you know, just out, you know, rubbing shoulders with people in my community, people are beginning to realize it's just something isn't right.
I pray, but I'm just afraid that no matter how bad things get, that they all become Trump-tards in 2024.
I guess we'll see. I wouldn't bet against that, Bill. I certainly wouldn't bet against it.
And I would be extremely disappointed.
Yeah, well, you know, Trump is far from being any kind of savior for our people. That's for sure.
I'm afraid a large number of them are going to fall for it again, though. They fell for it with Reagan. They fell for it with Bush. They fell for it with Trump the first time. It's a constant pattern. They never repent and think, well, this didn't work for me in 1980. It didn't work for me in 2000. And it's not going to work now. They don't think that way.
No, as the old saying goes, hope springs eternal.
You if know, you
well,
walked
this,
out of your
this
steps,
time it'll be different.
If you walk down the steps to your house and step on a rake and it hits you in the face, when 18 times, when are you going to move that rake? When's that going to happen?
That's exactly. Or when are you going to find another way down from the first floor down to the second floor down to the first floor?
Right. When are you going to change your path? Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I don't know. I'd like to think that some people will learn, but you probably are right. Most probably won't. So,
yeah, I'm afraid that that this Biden administration has really exposed the, in my opinion, the nefarious side of our government, the sinister side of our government. And if that doesn't wake people up and they slip back into being Trump-tards once again and waving their stupid American flags, that's a huge disappointment.
Yes, it is, because they are not discerning enough to realize that it's Joe Biden is just a symptom.
Right.
Joe Biden is just kind of the face that you're seeing right now. The problem is we have this empire, and that's the problem. And it doesn't make any difference who's sitting in the catbird seat in D.C. The empire is the problem.
Absolutely.
Trump is not going to change that.
No, sir. He's part of the problem. He could just package himself very well to look like a solution, and he's a huge part of the problem.
Yeah, anybody that packages themselves to look like a solution and continues on with the same regime is even a bigger, he's a bigger part of the problem than Biden is. At least Biden's stupidity and bumbling is waking people up. Trump will put them back to sleep.
And at least Biden doesn't mind stating who his enemy is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Trump,
it's us.
Trump will, you know, come up, put his arm around you and say that he's your friend, and then stab you in the back, of course. At least Biden is telling you to your face, and Biden's cronies are telling you to your face, you're our enemy. So, you know, that will at least wake some of our people up. They're going to, as I said, go back to sleep completely when Trump gets back in office. And I do believe he probably will if things hold together between now and 2024. And I'm not sure they will. And in fact, I'm really kind of praying that they won't hold together.
Absolutely, I agree. And Trump did stab us in the back. He did stab us in the back in the aftermath of Charlottesville. Satisfied, he made all of his Jewish lawyer friends happy that were down there carpetbagging from Manhattan, Alan Levine and company. Yeah, I do believe Trump stabbed us in the back. And
yeah, I'll always believe that. And he stabbed those people that came up there on January the 6th innocently to support him. He stabbed them in the back, too.
Yes, he did. And those people are absolutely demonized for the actions of just a few.
That's right. And on his behalf.
Yes. Yes. So, Trump is no friend of the what's left of the right in America.
No, and I'm very proud that in back in 2016, 2015, I guess when he made his announcement he was going to run and started picking up steam, we in the league came out and said, we don't support this guy. We don't support anybody, but we certainly don't support him, and he is no Southerner, and he will be a disappointment to any of you who support him. And damn it, we were right.
Well, yeah, that's great. I mean, I honestly never saw that. I didn't. I have at least three or four podcasts where I said a year ahead of time that Donald Trump was going to make white nationalists look stupid. I didn't know that the league took a position on Trump at that time because I know that the league, by its own definition of itself, is apathetic to federal elections. It has to be.
Yes, that's right. And we were prescient enough to foresee that he would lure a lot of our people into supporting him because of the unusual approach that he took, the sort of blunt approach that he took to articulating a lot of the things that we ourselves had been saying were problems. But we knew he was a deceiver.
Right, he never did a damn thing about any of them.
No, he just talked, and we warned people that talk ain't good enough, and beware of this man because he is not one of us. And I'm very proud that we did that.
Right. I mean, so am I. So I would be also. I really was unaware of any position that the league had on Trump. I mean, I
Yeah,
joined in
we were warning people
2017.
from the very start.
No Southern nationalists should really have a concern for U.S. federal politics. If you're a
No,
Southern
absolutely not.
nationalist, then you're a secessionist by definition of being a Southern nationalist. You should have no concern.
That's exactly right. We told everybody if you want to get concerned politically, do it on the state and local level. Support somebody who's going to be a good governor for your state or a good county commissioner or a good mayor for your town.
And your
And don't worry
judges.
about D.C. D.C. is going to do what D.C. does, and it's not going to be in your interest. So don't think that you're going to find a savior there.
I forget this name. But we should have more concern for who our judges are, local politicians, things that actually make an impact on our lives. I'm trying to find this one. Valerie Judah is always running for judge in Southeast Alabama. It's that I s drive all through Alabama all the time, and we see all these political placards and billboards for people running for judge, and a
Right.
startling number of them are Jews
Of course.
in
Even in
Southeast
Alabama.
Alabama. It's incredible. Valerie
Yes, it is.
Judah. You think she's a Jew?
Yep. I would think so, sir. I would think so.
There's a lot of them, just that blatant.
Yeah, absolutely. People need to be more discerning.
So, yeah, right. In those areas we need to be involved in politics. They have a direct effect on our immediate lives and our local communities. But that's the only politics that we should really be involved in. At the state level, that should be the top of it. Like you said,
That's
our
right. That
state
should be the
is our
top.
nation.
Well, here I live in Lauderdale County, Alabama, way up in the northwest, extreme northwest corner of the state. We got three candidates running for judge. I mean, I'm sorry, running for sheriff. And I'm going to. I think the Republican primary. There are no Democrats running. Three Republicans. The incumbent sheriff is stepping down. So there are three Republicans running in the Republican primary in May, and beginning next week, I'm going to go meet with all three of those candidates for sheriff, and try to spend an hour or so with them and ask them questions and find out where they're coming from. I think everybody ought to be doing things like that with their local elections coming up.
Right, league members should have their focus on everything local. I agree with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And speaking of league folks, we're going to have a League of the South National Conference coming up on the weekend of June the 3rd and 4th down in your state in Florida, in Lake City, Florida. And we invite your listeners to check us out at our website, which is leagueofthesouth.com. You can actually find out about the event and who we've got so far as speakers, and find out how to sign up and get registered for this. We think it's going to be a very good conference. We got some good folks down there in the Lake City area helping us, you know, put the thing together, and going to have a really good list of speakers, and we hope a really good time that weekend with people coming together and, you know, getting to know each other better and getting inspired and just having a good time that weekend. So I'd encourage people to go to the website again, leagueofthesouth.com, and click on the icon there about the 2022 National Conference and check us out.
Absolutely. I would invite all our listeners in the South to come to the League of the South Conference in Lake City, in the Lake City area. The exact venue of the event is confidential. It will only be revealed to participants in the hours before the meeting. And there's important reasons for that, because of the problems we've had with Black Lives Matter and other groups, even here in Florida and in Lake City and Jacksonville area especially. The event will be in Lake City beginning, I believe, at 9 a.m. the morning of June 3rd, and it'll be a two-day event. But we only want our registrants, and all registrations are going to be screened, and we only want our registrants coming to the event. We don't want any other attention from outside. So
yeah, that's right. Registration will begin at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. on Friday, June the 3rd, and we will not be letting anybody in who wants to come and register at the door. You have to pre-register, and you have to be vetted, because we realize that some of our people are afraid to come to events like this because they're afraid of being doxxed, and that is a real fear for people on the right today. And you know, we've had some bad experiences over the years with Antifa and Black Lives Matter trying to find out about where our venue is and then putting pressure on the venue owner to cancel and things like that. Well, we're gonna try to preclude them from doing that this year, and we're also going to try to make it a very safe event for the people who attend by making sure that we know who's in the building, as it were, and nobody's going to be allowed to be in there taking photographs or anything like that. So if you come, please know that we're going to do everything we can to make it a safe and secure event that you can attend without worrying about being hassled by the left.
Absolutely. And it went well for the state conference last year, and I'm sure it'll go well this year.
That's one reason we put the conference this year, national conference, in the hands of some people there in Florida who are very, very experienced in running very successful state conferences. And so we've got all the faith in the world that they'll be able to do a great job for the national conference, too.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to it, sir.
Well, I am, too. It's only a little more than 2 months away, and I can't wait. Get down there and see some of my old friends again I hadn't seen in a while, including you, sir.
Yes, sir. We're definitely looking forward to that.
Looking forward to having a beer with you.
That'd be wonderful. We should do that more often.
Absolutely, I agree.
I wanted to bring up the Charlottesville lawsuit and any possible news from that, but I know there is no news because the judge you've informed me hasn't even written his decision yet. So there's no verdict.
To my knowledge, there's been no decision written, and my attorney is is staying on this pretty closely, and he told me that if you don't hear anything from me, that means nothing is happening. And it's been a while since I've heard anything from him. We file motions at the end. At the end of the trial, we file some motions. I'm still waiting to hear about those motions, but right now I'm saying to myself, no news is good news.
I'm really sort of surprised because it's been over 4 months now since the jury verdict.
It's... Yeah, that was November the 23rd is when the jury verdict was handed down.
Is he, so it's over 5 months now, is he, do you think, being cautious? He doesn't want to be overruled or overturned or have any appeals? I don't know. It seems to me that he might just be being especially cautious, and especially because in light of the case law, this jury verdict, these awards can't stand.
No, in light of case law, in both the Supreme Court case law and the Fourth Circuit, Fourth District, of which Charlottesville is a part, both of those suggest that these punitive damages cannot stand. So I don't know. He may be being cautious. I guess we'll see.
Well, I hope he is. I actually hope that he doesn't try to risk changing the case law either, that he should know that he should just bite the bullet and maybe piss off some Jewish lawyers, but issue a decision that's in line with the case law. So that's what I pray.
Well, our attorney thinks that he pretty much has to do that. Our attorney is optimistic that he will do that. It's just a matter of when he'll get around to it.
When the hammer's going to drop.
Yes, exactly. So I'm really not worried about it. That's why I pay an attorney to worry about these things for me. I just go about living my life. So
that's all we can do, sir.
That's right, sir. We got plenty of other battles to fight right in front of us right now. So.
Yes, I understand that, and I hope that anybody that's listening to my programs, through our program here in the South, decides to join us at our national conference and consider the League of the South. Thank you, sir.
I pray they do, too, because we do need organization to overcome these people, and I think that's what they fear most, is that white folks are going to get organized, and it's past time that we did. And the league's not a Johnny come lately. We've been around this year in June. It'll be 28 years that we've been around, so we do have a pretty good track record of surviving, if nothing else. So,
absolutely, and we will survive. I'm sure.
Absolutely, we will. God willing, we will.
Thank you, sir. Praise Christ, and thank you for being here.
Praise Yahweh, and Bill, it's always my pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, sir. Good night.